With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi Halima.
Hi Ioni.
And hello to the listeners. Welcome to the Polyester Podcast. I'm Ioni and I'm the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester. And I am the author of Poor Little Sick Girls.
And I'm Halima, the community editor of Polyester Scene and the co-host of Polyester Podcast.
This is The Sleepover Club, a feminist pop culture podcast. We pull apart the hashtag discourse in the hope of making some sense of it all.
Before we get started, please like, rate and review and subscribe. It helps us so much. Do we have any reviews through that this week, Ioni?
We do. 5 stars. Love the hot takes. These two really dig into the meat of various channels of living, breathing, adapting feminism. Content is current, relevant and has me thinking from new angles. That's by Smith Ord 92 from the US of A. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love the reviews.
Me too. They made me so happy.
Please send us more.
Please do. So what are we talking about today, Halima?
Gina had a great topic idea and it's kind of like, does everything need to be inclusive? Which I think we've kind of touched upon in like previous episodes, but I think this is a good topical topic.
And this is specifically, we are talking or hooking this on to Love Island, which has obviously started in the UK in the last couple of weeks. But I'm actually annoyed at you, Halima.
Why?
Because you don't fucking watch it.
No, I don't watch anything. I feel like I'm the worst to talk about. I watch like all the little niche things we usually watch because I think we have similar TV taste. But
yeah.
I don't watch the major stuff like Euphoria or Love Island.
That's true. But Love Island has started. So I feel like it's too soon for me to actually be into it. Like, I don't really know people's names. So if people like have a go at me for not knowing people's names, I'm just putting this up front right now that I do not know anyone.
How are you going to describe them then?
I will
white person one, white person two.
Exactly. So I feel like every year we kind of have a conversation about the lack of inclusivity in Love Island, whether it's from a racial standpoint or a body size standpoint. Obviously Love Island is all straight people. Well, not all straight people, but as in it's focusing on straight relationships that are bi people in there. I suppose we should start with, why don't you watch it, Halima?
Oh goodness. I just hate the way I see my fellow black people treated in the show. I think when I was doing some reading for this, I mean my general thoughts are the fact that like they can make it as diverse or as inclusive when it comes to race as they want. I think it doesn't change the fact that a lot of the people who come into the show already have white supremacy and kind of the worst of white supremacy and the worst of fatphobia ingrained in their mentality. So it doesn't matter if you can put as many black people as you want there. I think you still see the same kind of the way British dating is in this country, if that makes sense. Like you see the racism, you see the fat phobia, you see certain people won't get approached, certain people will get approached. It was really upsetting to see. Again, I didn't really watch it, but I would watch little sections of it. Was it Samira's season? Is that her name? Samira?
Yeah.
She was having a really hard time at one point. She was crying about the fact that nobody fancied her. And I can't remember the white girl she was crying to. Was she in Molly Mae's season?
I don't know, to be honest. They all blend into one after a certain point.
It was one of those girls that she was crying to be like, you're so beautiful. And like, I don't know why the people don't approach me, you know, like, and it was just hard to see because it's very much like And I wasn't too, like, I think I wasn't, I always say that I wasn't too into dating when I was younger, but I feel like I was just trying to save myself any of the heartache of the fact that I knew the boys around me didn't like me very much.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I lived in, like, the whitest of white areas. I'm not going to say because I don't want to be stalked, but I lived in a very white area. So I was, or even, I grew up in Ireland, so I was just protecting myself from the fact that I knew people, the people around me didn't want to date me. So it was just very, like, I don't want to say triggering, but it was very much like, I felt taken back to a place where I was when I was young, seeing her same experience. And you see that kind of, you see that again and again throughout the seasons of Love Island. These girls crying about the fact that they don't feel desirable because of the way that they look. So you can make it as diverse as you want, but it doesn't change the fact that a lot of these boys want blonde, skinny, white women.
I thought it was interesting that, so basically they changed it this year, so the public chose the initial couplings. Usually it's like the boy comes in and there's a line of girls and then they pick a girl to couple up with. But they changed it so you like vote on an app, like who you think should be paired together. And all of the black contestants got paired together.
Black love, baby. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting because I guess I see the tweets and stuff and people are like, you shouldn't force it if they don't like each other. Like as much as we want to see like the black people, I mean, I think people are seeing really nice friendships grow between the two. Or again, I can't talk because I don't watch the show.
So. Why didn't you watch it for this episode?
Where were we yesterday? Exactly.
You've had a week and a half.
No, I couldn't do it.
I haven't watched yesterday's episode.
Exactly. We're in the same boat then.
No, because I've watched every other episode of the season.
I've seen enough on Twitter. I know that one of the two black people kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's lovely. I don't know if they like each other though.
But something I will say for Love Island, and I'm not, like, we can dig into it more, and I know that, like, disabilities obviously are in many, many different ways, and I did think it was a bit of a cop-out when they got Hugo on last year, and they were like, oh, he used to have clubfoot, and it's like, but now he had it corrected in, like, childhood as a baby, so then he doesn't have clubfoot anymore. Like, he was self-conscious about it, but it, like, wasn't something that was actually something he dealt with in that present moment. But this year, they have a girl on it. And again, I don't know her name.
She's deaf in one ear.
No, she's born deaf and she has a cochlear implant now.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So the implant is visible. Mm-hmm. It's like or she also has hearing aids. I'm not sure. There's something visible on her ears. And to be honest, I do actually really rate it for that. Like, I know it's obviously not the most, like, not extreme's the wrong word, but, like, there's no one in a wheelchair or there's no one that's, like, you know, very, like, maybe things that hold you back from dating more. But I feel like having a deaf or someone that's born deaf contestant is, like, quite cool, to be honest.
Do they have, like, I guess I don't know how they're supporting her, but even on the show, do they have somebody who does sign language, like, for people watching the show?
No, she talked, like, she can hear.
No, I know for her, but I mean as in for the viewers. Like, how are they supporting deaf viewers?
I don't know if they have, if they have, because I don't know how it, because obviously I'm not deaf. I don't know how it works with, like, on demand now, if they do have that, like, separately or whatever, or how it works, whether it's, all I know from, like, obviously not growing up deaf, is I remember when Songs of Praise was signed when I was younger. That's the only thing I remember. Like, because I used to wake up really, really early when I was a kid. And that's when all of the sign language, like, what's the word? But, you know, when you have, like, the person at the front of the telly and they're doing sign language. So I don't know if there's, like, if it's advanced in that way, is that now it's more like an on-demand thing or whatever. Or if people, like, use closed captionings for that. I don't know, because it's not my experience. But I think solely from a visibility point of view, like, compared to other TV shows that are of similar ilk, because I watch a lot of reality TV and I'm not afraid to admit that, you would not see anything. You would not see a contestant that was, actually, I tell a lie. I watched The Bridge this week, which is another reality show. It's not dating based. They have to build a bridge. That's literally what it is. And they had a deaf contestant on there as well. But I think it's just quite cool to see. Like, I'm not saying it's perfect or, like, that they should be mad applauded for it, but I think it is, like, quite cool mainstream visibility for something like that.
I remember they had on, I think it was America's Got Talent. That's a complete lie. It was America's Next Top Model, and they had a deaf model on the show. And I think that, I can't remember the fella's name, maybe Niall, and he was talking about how isolated he felt on the show because nobody there signed and stuff like that. So my whole thing is like visibility is cool, but I never know how they genuinely cater for the people there on the show, or how they genuinely cater for the like the new audience that they get, who obviously also who might obviously have that disability. Like, how do they also cater for them? Because there's one degree of having visibility, and even though I don't even know, visibility is a weird one, because like it's cool to have visibility, but I also don't know what the visibility does tangibly sometimes. Does that make sense? Like the idea that this, I think speaking specifically about America's Next Top Model with that particular deaf contestant, the fact that they included him in the show and then also gave him no support, or the fact that he also complained that, you know, the show wasn't as accessible to people in his community to actually watch him on the show.
Yeah, I do understand. Yeah, I totally understand that. But I am just saying it from, I think it is cool that there is a deaf, like,
I mean, it's cool.
Born deaf on Love Island. Like, I don't know. I don't think they've done a info pack or whatever on how they are supporting that contestant. But I think for like, and it to be, you know, I hate the word normalized, but as in like, what something I hate about Glow Up does it a lot and Drag Race does it a lot is like, and Love Island does not do it at all, is like the trauma porn narrative. So it's like, kind of what you're saying about Samira, I suppose, like being upset or whatever, but Glow Up do it all the time as well. Like, oh, once I had to, once I tripped on a pavement and was sad and now it's changed the course of my life. Like, sob stories, basically. Like, I don't like them in reality TV. Like, I think it's so obviously a plot point that's been, like, ingrained into Drag Race and Glow Up specifically, which is also kind of weird because they're both, obviously RuPaul's Drag Race is a queer-centered show, but I feel like Glow Up's trying to be, potentially. For anyone that doesn't know, Glow Up is, like, a makeup reality, kind of like the Great British Bake Off, but for makeup is the best way to describe
it. The Great British Baking Show in America, no?
Yeah, so I kind of like the fact she's just there and like living her life, and it's not like they're not storyboarding her around having to speak about how hard it is or whatever. Like, I feel like that's quite refreshing in a way.
I mean, it's not like they made Samira, I mean, I guess actually they kind of did make Samira, because they put her in an environment where obviously people wouldn't, I don't know, approach her in that way. But I don't think, I never thought Love Island was like a trauma porny type show.
No, it's not, but I'm saying like a lot of other reality TV shows, if they put diverse people in, like diverse, like if they put them in there, they force that narrative out. Do you know what I mean? Like, Glow Up's a makeup competition, doesn't have to be that way.
That reminds me of a TikTok I saw the other day, and it was like, this person's like, well, my mom died, and then the screen turns to the X Factor screen, and like they're telling the story of them, I'm dying, Simon Cowell hits the golden buzzer.
Yeah, they do that on the bridge as well, this one I was just talking about. Like they literally make them sit down round a table and go, why are you here? And then they have to like regale the worst things that's ever happened to them. But my kind of like argument for this episode, I think, is because like obviously the central point is like some shows don't need to be diverse, like just give us uninclusivity and we will enjoy the trash.
But I think it's only because, and I think we should, like, before people are like, eh, they like get that one clip of you being like, only white people, and they cancel you. But like a lot of the people of color, people are like marginalized people who they do put on this show suffer a lot. So like, why would I want to see my brethren suffer on a television show? But I feel like low-key, like I'm not trying to be, because I feel like I came across a bit harsh when I was being like, oh, what does visibility do? Or whatever, in some regards. I think it's because like, I think this whole inclusivity and diversity narrative has been co-opted, like for purely for capitalist purposes and not actually in a way to help or support people of color. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I was actually just halfway through my point.
Oh, sorry. I came across really harsh in the beginning.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So I was saying that's like the central thesis of the episode, but my argument would be that, like, I just don't think these shows should exist if they can't find a way to be, like, nurturing of all identities. And not all identities, like, I'm saying in the format as it stands, I agree you shouldn't, like, stick a very visibly disabled person with complex needs into Love Island because you're just setting them up for, like, having a fucking horrible time. But, like, why should we have this reality television that just, like, reflects the worst parts of our society? And also, I'm not saying the people on there are bad people, but we're essentially saying that...
Some of them are bad people.
Yeah, of course, but I'm just not saying all of them are.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, why should these shows exist? Because if something like throwing in people of colour or disabled people or even like queer people in there creates such a like rupture of hatred, then why should these like vessels for that exist in the first place? Like, surely we should be creating new things that are actually like good and don't rely on us just like upholding all of the standards that we are trying to dismantle.
Sarah Ahmed wrote this book that I added in my research. It's called On Being Included: Racism, Diversity in Institutional Life. And I guess the book is more so centered on like university, like inclusion and diversity schemes. But she wrote something that I thought was really important. She goes, we might want to be cautious about the appealing nature of diversity and ask whether the ease of its incorporation by institutions is a sign of the loss of its critical edge.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting.
I would like you to expand on your interpretation of critical edge.
I guess, like, I think, you know, she used a really good example. She was saying that, like, I don't know how to explain this. Martin Luther King, for example, there's a bunch of streets named after Martin Luther King, and there's lots of statues of Nelson Mandela around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're those countries' idea of showing like the inclusion and diversity that, like, you know, we support like these incredible Black figures. But for example, in 2008, Nelson Mandela was still on the U.S. terrorism list.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good example, but like, there, like Martin Luther King, for example, all his rhetoric with like "I had a dream," all of those stuff that he said has been like ridiculously softened. And same with Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela's image is this idea that he was nonviolent and he was peaceful. That's a fucking lie, because at one stage of his life during, you know, apartheid South Africa, he was into violence. He knew that we had to be violent to get, you know, justice and freedom. Martin Luther King knew the same thing, and people would soften what he was saying, and institutions have softened both of their rhetoric in the guise of diversity and inclusion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When in actuality, you know, they knew the cost of freedom. So I guess, I think it links in that regard, because like institutions' idea of diversity and inclusion is soft and nonviolent, and it doesn't threaten the institution. Mm-hmm. When their idea of diversity and inclusion had a critical edge, had a transformative idea, had a transformative vision. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying.
I'm sure that's a fucked up example I use. I don't know if it's as light as Love Island talk, but I didn't know how else to say it.
No, but I kind of think that, like, because basically what we're saying is, by saying that not everything needs to be inclusive, we're saying some things can just be entertainment, and for them to just be entertainment, we have to like pull wool over our eyes in a way and pretend that like a lot of socioeconomic factors are at play. For example, like, I know you brought up Jeremy Kyle earlier, and that's a very extreme example of that. Like, if you kind of enjoy Jeremy Kyle, then you are just like forgetting all of the badness that exists in that show. But I think that relies on the assumption that entertainment has to somehow be exploitative, is what I'm saying here, like for marginalized people. But like, marginalized people also deserve entertainment, like away from this idea of like politics and institutions. Like, they do deserve like the trash entertainment shite telly. So at the moment, I just personally don't think it should be a like, they go in and they're treated like shit and they feel like shit, and it's on a whole a loss for, not a loss, but like, it's a bad time for anyone within that group, because you're constantly seeing someone from your community be criticized is a soft word, trolled. Or you don't have them at all and you're watching like the skinny white cis straight people shag each other all summer. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think we should have shows that are built from zero upwards that cater to the entertainment of marginalized communities. Like, for example, when I was writing my book, my publisher, Charmaine, basically, when she was just talking to me about how her approach to the to her imprint dialogue books, and it was like, we assume the majority to be white, middle-class, cisgender, straight people. So when you're trying to sell a book, or when you're trying to sell a TV show, or when you're trying to sell a podcast, or when you're trying to sell a magazine, if you're not, you're assumed you have to cater to that gaze to make money. But that's literally like ignoring the marginalized majority. Like, there's so many more of us than there are of those people. There's so many more people that want like entertaining TV that is a bit trashy, but also is not exploitative and caters to our communities.
Mm-hmm.
But why have we like left ourselves in a stalemate where that's impossible?
Is there any example of a kind of like a reality? Well, I guess there's probably lots of reality TV that is actually enjoyable for marginalized people that isn't exploitative, because I feel like a lot of reality TV is exploitative.
I'd say maybe the closest that I've come to watching something that doesn't feel actively terrible is maybe like The Circle, the English version. I haven't watched the American version.
Oh, they're in the little houses, and
they all have their own flats, and then like,
that's a good one.
Sometimes they pretend to be other people,
mm-hmm.
but that does play into identity politics a lot more, because like, gays play it straight or whatever, mm-hmm. not in an overtly politicized way, but I would say that's maybe the closest to one that
I've You know one I really hate? We could do a whole episode about Love is Blind, honestly, because I really have so many issues with Love is Blind as a show. Like, it's so, I loved it. I thought it was so incredibly entertaining, but it shows you so many, like the hold that marriage has over, particularly like heterosexual people,
yeah.
right? Or like the burden of trying to stick to this like one idealized narrative of loving and being loved under like patriarchy and capitalism. That's a whole other one that I really don't like, that I find really exploitative. But anyway,
I mean, the thing is, we're obviously like so keenly aware of very like different threads of how reality TV is maybe like not the most healthy thing for the contestants, but also for the viewers. Like, obviously Love Island had like a lot of suicides from the cast, mm-hmm. and from Caroline Flack, and like that brought out a really big conversation about duty of care. But then it's like, even then, there's still so many like potholes that we're falling into that make it just like a bad thing. And I'm saying this as a fan, like not a fan, but as someone that like consumes this content.
As a super fan.
No. But I just don't think it has to be one or the other, is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be like they're in and they feel like shit, or let's just have them all out and enjoy our rubbish telly.
Mm.
We can make good rubbish telly that is inclusive.
You're right. I think minority people do deserve trashy TV that they can just like mindlessly enjoy. I think it's just, you know, I think these organizations' idea is that they can just add us into these shows without any duty of care, as you've said exactly. And that's how they get their quote unquote woke points, when that's like, we hate that more, if anything.
Yeah, and I also don't think it works, really. No.
We see through it at this point, to be fair. Like, this whole diversity and inclusion talk has been going on for years, and I think a lot of people are just bored by it.
Yeah, but then I think, but we still watch, so I suppose it's just like how, if you are a TV producer, executive, commission me to make an inclusive, me and Helena to make an inclusive reality TV show.
Just commission Ione, because Ione knows everything about it. I don't know anything. I find it interesting because Sarah Ahmed kind of gave a term for exactly what we're describing. And it's called, so what we're describing at the minute is called the new equality regime, this idea that like corporations are taking on diversity and inclusion. And she, as she mentions this sociologist called Joan Acker, who says if there is an equality regime, that there is an inequality regime. And that's exactly what we're talking about. The idea that they're letting in these marginalized people, but what still persists in the inequality regime is the fact that this equality regime is like a new form of a set of processes that maintain what is supposedly being readdressed. So it still keeps all those things to do with, like, it maintains class, gender, and race inequalities, even though, you know, it has this new rule. It's still, mm-hmm. It kind of, like, it masks what is already still there.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we're talking about. I just thought I'd give the name.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I just think, I don't know how to explain. I don't know. I suppose it's just, like, what I talk about all the time, that, like, we so often are attracted to extremes in this instance, like everything is trash or everything is good, like leave it alone or deal with it, basically. Mm-hmm. And I feel just like at this point, we should be striving for better.
Yeah, we should definitely ask for better instead of just like allowing it, if that makes sense. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a state of disillusionment. How do we get better?
I don't know, because I think it just... I don't know, because it's hard, because I think we are all obviously critical viewers now at this point. Like, yeah. I think it's impossible to watch TV and not be a critical viewer.
I think, like, TV thinks we're stupid, low-key, because I think they're just so behind in what we've already been discussing since Tumblr. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've had these discussions for years. They're just so behind.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, like, I don't know what it takes to push the needle or whatever it's called, but I think it should happen.
Maybe I should start Love Island.
Maybe you should go on Love Island. I'd pay to see that.
That's terrible.
Not pay to see that because you'd be treated terribly, but I'd just like to see how you interact. I was saying to Misha and Gina the other day that the only reality TV show I would go on would be Big Brother, so I could sit in the smoking area all day and people could just come visit me for gossip.
Yeah, good one. I'd hate Love Island because they can't listen to music. Can you imagine?
They do on their like little club nights.
That's not enough. I can't be listening to them. Oh, that one day a night where they listen to Craig David. Like, I can't do it. We'll be in the studio and we're eating and I literally have to have noise in my ear. Like, I would literally die.
That's so funny. Well, here we are. We would love to hear your thoughts. Sound off in our comment section. The TikTok episode really got you all riled up. I was not expecting that response.
No, I didn't think
were
I
you?
Heard that much. No.
But enjoy reading all your opinions. As always, mm-hmm. We will be back next Monday. Thank you, Halima.
Thanks, Ione.
Thank you to Olivia for editing, to Gina, Charlotte, Eden, Izzy. And I think that's it.
Coolio.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.